Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I'm going to warn you now that this next segment might make you a little uncomfortable because we're going to be talking about death and dead bodies. Our guest, Caitlin Doty, is an expert. She's a mortician and author who gets dozens of questions about death every day, including from kids. She's published some of those questions and her answers in the new book, Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? Big Questions from Tiny Mortals About Death. Caitlin Doty joins me now. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and first of all, you're a mortician. How did you get into this line of work? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was a bit of a morbid child myself, and as I got older, I graduated from college. I had a medieval history degree, which is, as you may know, not a huge asset in the job market at the current time. And when I was 22 years old, I got a job at a crematory in Oakland. I was the one actually in the warehouse cremating the bodies.
By choice.
And it was by choice, absolutely by choice. And I suddenly was exposed to the reality of death in America and what goes on behind the scenes. And instead of being horrified by it, all I wanted to do was tell people about it and let people know what would happen to their mother when she was cremated or buried or embalmed. And that's really formed the basis of my career, is letting people know what happens behind the scenes in the funeral industry and, frankly, what reforms the funeral industry could use.
Well, and you write in this book, many people, including me, believe that we can control some of our fears by embracing death, learning about it, and asking as many questions as possible.
I absolutely believe that. And it really works. I wouldn't be a public advocate for having open conversations about death if the feedback wasn't, you know what, I still have anxiety about death. I'm still not too excited about my own inevitable death. But knowing exactly what to expect, even if I'll be dead, knowing what happens during an embalming, knowing what decomposition looks like, paradoxically, knowing these nitty-gritty details about death and the dead body actually helps us fear death less. Hmm.
Why do you think so many people fear death so much, given that we all die eventually?
Well, of course, we're never going to solve the existential problem of death, the fact that it's terrifying that we will disappear into the ether and go who knows where at a certain point of our lives. But it's also cultural. I've been able to travel around the world and look at how other cultures look at death, and America is really one of the most intensely in denial, intensely committed to the idea of, I mean, even think about how we do a traditional wake when someone dies. We chemically preserve the body, we put makeup on the body, and you come in and you see the person almost in a simulacrum of how they were when they were living.
And they're sleeping, basically.
They're sleeping. Exactly. And I personally, in my advocacy, I think a dead body should look like a dead body, cleaned up, eyes closed, mouth closed. But I think that if your dad's dead, you should know that he's dead. That is the reality. That is the new reality of the situation. And I think it's actually a positive thing for us to face death more directly and not dress it up and put makeup on it.
Okay, so let's get to some of the questions that you answer in your book, starting with the one that gives the book its title, When I Die, Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? Explain.
Spoiler, yes. So this question was actually the very first question that sparked the idea for this book. It was a young boy at an event that I was at, and he asked that question. And it was so brilliant because it's very specific, but also taps into this fear that adults also have, I think, that their beloved Mr. Fluffkin's cat or dog will eat their body when they die. And the reality is that they will eventually. These are animals. Cats share a huge percentage of their DNA with lions, and they will eat you if they do not have access to other food. And they'll usually go for the softer parts of your body, your lips, your eyelids, because they're easy access. And then eventually, they wouldn't go for your eyeballs first, but they might eventually get to your eyeballs. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Obviously, we don't want you to end up in that situation when you die. But your creating new life. You eat meat in your life, and now an animal is eating you when you die. I don't think it's that far away from the cycle of life that we should be a part of.
Caitlin, let's go on to the next question, which is, this is another question from your book. You talk about whether people's dead bodies can be claimed as property.
That's a very difficult question. In America, they're called something like quasi-property. And what that means is that nobody truly owns a dead body. The person who is the next of kin, meaning the wife or the son or the whoever's closest to the dead person, can make all the decisions for the dead body, but nobody truly owns it. And it's in the public interest to, or allegedly in the public interest, to bury a body in a respectful manner, cremate a body in a respectful manner. And this is important because it gets into questions like, why can't I just keep my dad's skull on the mantelpiece?
Do people want to do that?
Oh, yes, they do. Oh, if you knew how often I got that question.
Wow.
Why can't I prop dad up in the corner or taxidermy him? And the reason is because, yes, you're in charge of making decisions for your dad when he dies, but it's in a very, very narrow legal range of options: cremation, burial, donation to science. There's no deflesh and keep his skull on the mantelpiece or taxidermy him or give him a Viking funeral. Those just aren't on the list of state or mandated options for dad's dead body.
So you talk about cremation in this book, and you say something I never thought of, which is that when you're cremating a body, you have to watch out for pacemakers because they could act like a little bomb in the cremation oven.
Exactly. That's actually one of our biggest questions that we ask on our cremation form is, did mom have a pacemaker? Because if it's not removed, the batteries that are inside of it contain so much compressed energy that once they're met with the 1800 degree flames of the cremation machine, they do explode. And as a crematory operator, former crematory operator, I would open the door of the cremation machine to watch the cremation process as it was happening, maybe move the body around to make it more efficient. And if I happen to be doing that and there's a pacemaker in there that we didn't catch, that could explode and potentially be very harmful for me or just the inside of the machine.
You talk about a Viking funeral, which is where you put a body into like a canoe or a boat and you push it out. And then you light it on fire. They did it in Game of Thrones with a flaming arrow. You say that's not possible. It wouldn't work.
Well, not only is it not possible, it's not really a Viking funeral. It's a Hollywood idea of a Viking funeral. And everybody has it. It's, you know, there is the boat and then you shoot the arrow and it goes up in flame. And then it's very dramatic and powerful. And I get why the imagery is so appealing to Hollywood. But the reality is that if you just had a simple wooden canoe or boat and you put a body on it and you set the whole thing on fire, the boat and the wood in the boat is going to cremate much faster than the dead body. So what you're going to have is a half-charred dead body just bobbing around in a municipal waterway somewhere, which is not your romantic idea of a complete Viking cremation. So it's just not logistically possible, nor is it the actual historical reality.
Okay, there are so many things in this book, which is, again, called Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? Big Questions from Tiny Mortals About Death. But I have to ask you about another thing that you talk about in here, which is that if you die on an airplane, on a commercial flight, that they will actually want to keep you in your seat because they have nowhere to put you.
This is something that I didn't even really know until I started digging in and doing my research. I had always assumed that there was some protocol of, okay, someone dies on a plane, it's unavoidable, they wrap them up, they put them in the back galley, they have some sort of secret compartment. That's not true. Often, they will just leave the person in their seat. And if the airplane is overbooked, as so many airplanes are, and there's no additional seats, you may end up just continuing to sit next to this dead person that you do not know for the remainder of the flight.
Just because they've been cramming so many seats into these flights and trying to fill them up so they can make
exactly.
Someone,
it feels like a coffin already. when you're flying. And now it could become a literal coffin because you have to sit next to a dead body, which blew my mind. And I think anytime there's been an emergency on a plane I've been on, I'm not a doctor. And I think about the only thing I'm really good for is being the person willing to sit next to the dead body after the death occurs, because I'm very comfortable and I work with the dead.
Right.
I wouldn't be scared by it. It wouldn't be my ideal seatmate, but you know, I would volunteer. I would do what I had to do.
I wonder if we'd ever hear an announcement over the loudspeakers. Is there anybody who wants to sit next? Is there a mortician on board who wants to sit next?
Is there anyone incredibly comfortable with dead bodies on board? And I'm like, I raise my hand. I do my call button.
What do you want to do with your body when you die?
Oh, what a great question. Until it is legal to leave my body out to be eaten by animals, I want a green burial, which is just a simple burial. You dig a hole in the ground, pretty shallow. You put a shrouded body into the ground and you allow the natural process of decomposition to happen. And maybe I'll even become a tree or a bush.
That is Caitlin Doty, whose book is called Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? Big Questions from Tiny Mortals About Death. There's so much more in here. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you can find an excerpt from the book at hereandnow.org.